Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Dark deeds are exposed and they're dealt with and they're shown to be of God because they walk toward the light. They want the truth. They're willing to deal with the truth. Not everyone's running headlong into the light. Slowly we pace ourselves, but we're willing to, and that's the difference. It's seen in which direction you guys are walking. You walking toward the light, you walking toward the night.
Many children don't like to sleep at night without a small nightlight. They need the peace that little bit of light gives them. Today, Pastor Troy shares that you need light too, the light of God in your life. You'll be challenged to consider if you're moving toward God's light or if you're content to stay in the darkness. Pastor Troy shares that this choice to move toward God happens bit by bit as you allow His light to shine on different parts of your heart. He wants to bring light into your darkness today. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 3 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
It's not just that He died that gives us force. See, His death cleanses us and opens us and makes us available for that which will be the engine, the force. What good does it do to pay a man's debt and to continue to let that man float down the stream dead? I paid for it, and yet there he goes. Paid for, but it's paid for. And see, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. When we put our faith in Him, not only are we cleansed and able to spend time in the presence of God, forgiven of everything, but we are also enabled to walk with Him, to walk in newness of life, to have a whole new life. Now, the old you, you're still there. You still think kind of the way you used to, but you have a whole new life now. You've been born again. The new man is alive and is at odds with the old man, the old nature. The old man only thinks about the flesh, but the new man considers the Spirit and what the Lord has to say, His way, His words, trusting in Him, walking in those new ways. Speaking about the nearness of His death, Jesus said in John 12:24, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." He was speaking of the Holy Spirit and the giving of the Holy Spirit. He had to die. If He didn't die, then He was going to walk around trying to minister to everyone. But that wasn't what He was there to do. He was there to die. But then the Holy Spirit could be poured out and everyone could be filled with that same heart. So this is the engine. This is the force that enables us to live the new life, which leads us to verse 18. "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now let's talk about the course of new life. That's faith. Notice the main point here. He's contrasting belief and unbelief. Believing and unbelieving. There are only two roads in life. Believing in Him or not believing in Him, believing in anything else. You know, we all believe in something. We all believe in something. Different things. For some of us, we might believe our feelings. When our feelings say something, I feel a certain way. Some, they have an intuition, not always right, but it's this intuition, this certain fears that we have, and we believe those feelings sometimes above what the Word of God says when they're incompatible. we have our own experiences, and sometimes we'll believe our own experiences or what we were told by mom and dad. We take all of this, we gather it, and we believe certain things about life. Now, the problem comes in when God's truth pierces our heart and challenges us on some of what we already believe. I believe this, but the Bible says this. I believe I should do this and act this way, but the Bible says I should believe and act that way. Now we're challenged, and it takes something in order to let go of one belief to embrace the truth. See, the Jews, he's dealing with Nicodemus here, a Jew, believed that the Messiah would come and condemn, not them, but the pagan nations around them, and restore Israel. But Jesus, he says something that flies in direct opposition to what they believed. He said, I did not come to condemn, but to save. That was not what they were taught. That flew in direct opposition. No, he is coming to condemn them. He's coming to condemn. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn. What? This doesn't fit what I've always believed. In fact, Nicodemus would discover that the line that separates those who will go to heaven and those who won't is not being born, but in those who believe in Jesus. Those who believe in him. Now, this is hard for him because he doesn't say what I've always believed as a Jew, and yet the requirement is we believe in him. That means I've got to let go of what I have learned to embrace what he says. That's challenging. For anyone to let go of what they have always believed, for that which doesn't make sense to them. This isn't after long explanation. Some of us, we won't believe anything until it's explained to us. You're going to have a difficult time, very difficult time. Because faith is an element of salvation. There's some things you just don't understand. When God calls us to follow him or do certain things, sometimes you just don't understand. If you're always requiring or demanding an explanation, you're going to miss out. You may miss the Lord altogether. But to embrace something that you don't completely understand because you're putting faith in the person who's saying it, Christ, his word, it requires something, faith. I got to let go of everything I've ever believed and trust what he said. It's like literally being born again. Guys, you have to learn to stand again. You have to learn to walk again. How do I walk? What decisions should I make? How does this, what am I supposed to do then? How to talk again? For some, our vocabulary is cut in half. Is that appropriate? Should I not say that? I didn't know those words were in all these movies I was watching. We don't see all that. We don't know all that until we're born again. I go, wow, what? I was in a pit. Wow, I was filthy. We have to learn everything all over again. The course of the old life is death. Just floating down the current. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 say this, and you he made alive, you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. That's what that means. We were just going with the flow, with how I felt, with all of those things that are of the old nature. But the course of new life is faith, is walking by faith. It enables you to stand. Here's the picture that I've kind of developed in my own mind. You're floating down. Well, faith, being filled with the Spirit of God and walking by faith, enables you to stand up and to actually walk in opposition to the current. You're walking against what is going on. It's hard. It's challenging. But it's God who's enabled us. He's brought life into us. Before you were dead, you had no choice, really. Yeah, some of the choices you make cause you, like a dead thing, to hit up against a tree, like of indecision. Boom. You're just stuck there. But you're not walking against the current. You're just kind of stuck there until something kind of knocks you. And, oh, you can keep going down that, down there. You're in that stuck in indecision, or I'm not, at least I'm not as bad as that guy. Boom. Ooh, ooh, here I go. You know? So that was the old life, but the new life allows us to stand and walk. We might call this sanctification, the process of the walking, and repentance. See, repentance is turning from and walking toward, embracing, letting go of and embracing what God has given. Romans 8, verses 5 and 6 say this: "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So Jesus said, "I didn't come to condemn anyone at this time." However, he also said, "Those who don't believe in me are condemned already." I don't have to come and condemn them. They're already condemned. And they have that which is going to condemn them ultimately, which is the truth. Verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God."
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the Solid Rock.
The final is the remorse of new life. From the course of new life to the remorse of new life, and that is, there's judgment. So the light has come, Jesus, the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. He died on the cross that those who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. However, those who don't are condemned already. They will naturally fall under condemnation because they refused to walk in the light. They didn't like the light. They turned from the light. They ran from the light. They avoided the light. Whatever it is, they may talk the good game, but they did not walk in the light as he is in the light. Why? It says, because they preferred the darkness. It has nothing to do. Hey, I love you. I love you, Lord. Oh, I love what you've done, but I like the darkness better. That's the separator, that they preferred the darkness. Doesn't mean they hated him, although in contrast, it is. They could throw some love out to him, but they prefer the darkness. Verse 21 contrasts that with those who prefer the light. What is it that they prefer? They prefer the truth. It says, those who want to know the truth, they are willing to walk and press in and come closer because they don't mind things being exposed, the truth being exposed. They want the truth exposed. They want the light. So there are those who, when conviction happens, when their ways, their thoughts are exposed, they go, no, 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 I'm not in for that. No, 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 no. That's the darkness. That's preferring the darkness. But then there are those who go, oh, man, that hurts. There may be even a little moving away, but it's like, this is even worse now that I know. But their desire is they press in because they want the light. And what happens is those dark deeds are exposed and they're dealt with and they're shown to be of God because they walk toward the light. They want the truth. They're willing to deal with the truth. Not everyone's running headlong into the light. Slowly we pace ourselves, but we're willing to. And that's the difference. It's seen in which direction you guys are walking. You walking toward the light, you walking toward the night. And that's a difference. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 4 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh," in other words, my flesh dictated, "God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Do you see the difference? Those who walk according to the flesh are of the flesh, and those who walk according to the Spirit, of the Spirit. Born again, a whole new life. Perfectly? No. Not everyone at the same pace. Not everyone coming from the same starting place, but walking the same direction. Desiring the light, the truth. It's a little story. Read it. "Long ago, there was a tribe who dwelt in a dark, cold cavern. These cave dwellers would huddle together and cry out against the chill of the dark, damp surroundings. It was all they knew. The sounds in the caves were mournful, but the people didn't know it, for they had never known joy, real joy. The spirit in the cave was death, but the people didn't know it, for they had never really known true life. Then one day, they heard a different voice. 'I have heard your cries,' it announced. 'I have felt your chill and seen your darkness. I have come to help.' The cave people grew quiet. They had never heard this voice. Hope sounded strange to their ears. 'How can we know you've come to help us?' 'Trust me,' he said. 'I have heard what you need and seen it.' The cave people peered through the darkness at the figure of the stranger. He was stacking something, and then stooping and stacking more. 'What are you doing?' one cried nervously. The stranger didn't answer. 'What are you making?' one shouted even louder. Still no response. 'Tell us,' demanded a third. The visitor stood and spoke in the direction of the voices. 'I have what you need.' With that, he turned to the pile of at his feet and lit it. Wood ignited, flames erupted, and light filled the cavern. The cave people turned away in fear. 'Put it out,' they cried. 'It hurts to see my eyes.' 'Light always hurts before it helps,' he answered. 'Step closer. The pain will soon pass.' 'Not I,' declared a voice. 'Nor I,' agreed a second. 'Only a fool would risk exposing his eyes and his flesh to such a light.' The stranger stood next to the fire. 'Would you prefer the darkness?' he asked. 'Would you prefer the cold? Don't consult with your fears. Take a step of faith. Trust me.' For a long time, no one spoke. The people hovered in groups, covering their eyes. The fire builder stood next to the flame. 'It's warm here,' he invited. 'He's right,' one from behind him announced. 'It's warmer.' The stranger turned, saw a figure slowly stepping toward the fire. 'I can open my eyes now,' she proclaimed. 'I can see. Come closer,' invited the fire builder. She did. She stepped into the ring of light. 'It's so warm,' she extended her hands and sighed as the chill began to pass. 'Come, everyone, feel the warmth,' she invited. 'Silence, woman,' cried one of the cave dwellers. 'Dare you lead us into your folly? Leave us. Leave us and take your light with you.' She turned to the stranger. 'Why won't they come?' he said. 'Well, they choose the chill, for though it's cold, it's what they know. It's what they're comfortable with. They'd rather be cold than change.' 'And live in the dark?' she asked. 'Yes,' he said, 'and even live in the dark.' The now warmed woman stood silent, looking first at the dark and then at the man. 'Will you leave the fire?' he asked. She paused. She answered, 'I cannot. I cannot bear the cold again.' But then she spoke again, 'But nor can I bear the thought of my people in darkness.' He said, 'You don't have to. reaching into the fire and removing a stick. He said, carrying this to your people, tell them the light is here and that the light is warm. Tell them the light is for all who desire it. Faith to come to it. She took the small flame and stepped into the shadows. That's kind of a story, what Jesus did. He brought the light to people who would be offended by it, to people whose eyes would hurt, their consciences would bother them. But those who genuinely believe, they come to the light. Can someone look to you and find that you're a light? Can they? What I mean is, can they look to you and find out how to get out of their financial mess? Can they come and they look to you and find out how a model family lives? Can they look to you, a light, and see faith in action so that's how it's lived out? Can they look to you, the light, and find what it means to have hope in the Lord despite what's going on around you? See, but men love darkness rather than light. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, to those who received him. Not to those who believed like the crowds. The crowds believed because they saw what he had done. They liked it. They applauded. They said, I'm all for a guy like this. I like him. But they did not receive him as the one who would lead them. Because when he said things that were hard, they left him. They did not believe. They just admired. Those who allow him to take their hand and pull them out, but see, he doesn't let go. He doesn't just pull you out. He also leads you. To be pulled out of the pit and to have a whole new life is what it means to be born again. When you're born again, you begin to reflect the character of your Father, just like a child does here. We can't help sometimes but reflect some of the things we've learned or look like some of our family members or our father. Well, that's exactly what happens spiritually in a life when someone is born again. They have a Father in heaven that they begin to reflect. Not because they try, it's just what happens naturally. They were naturally under condemnation before. Now they are naturally under reflection. They are going to be reflecting more and more over time. Jesus loves you. That's why he went to the cross for you. He hears your cries. He knows the chill. And he reaches out to you. That's what the cross is all about. He reaches out. He says, I've heard about you and your need. Now, if you've heard about the cross, guess what? You are able to look at the cross. Just like the serpent was lifted up, anyone who looked could. Jesus said, whoever comes. He knows who will. We don't, but he's open. You're free to look to the cross. The question is, will you? Will you look to the cross and entrust your life to Jesus?
Pastor Troy has been teaching through the Gospel of John here on Building on the Solid Rock. Different than the other gospel books, John introduced his book by going further back than when Jesus was born as a baby. He delved into the very nature of God and solidified throughout his writing that Jesus was the Son of God. This backdrop gives you a different insight into Jesus as a man, as he lived here on earth. It's no wonder that the book of John includes so many miracles, because it's evidence that only God could do such things. If you're curious to hear more of the teachings from this book, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can listen online or download the messages to share with others. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send us an email through our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Troy next time as he continues in the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.